Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jorza and John Rahor. We're getting ready for a Packers game this upcoming weekend against the Tennessee Titans. To do that, to look back at the game against the Bears, bringing us his unique statistical analysis, we have Nathan Yonke joining us on the phone of ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan, how you doing this morning? Very good. Thank you for joining us. I had you turned down a little bit on the volume there, but I think you're okay now. Nathan, the Packers saw the return of Clay Matthews this past weekend against the Chicago Bears, and obviously he had a pretty good game with two sacks. What was his impact on the defense upon his return?
Obviously, he had a great impact on in his return with the Packers. I found what he did in the run game more impressive than what he was doing pass rushing. In the run game, he had two tackles for losses and two more for short gains. And a lot of that was coming early on in the game when the Bears were trying to run the ball a lot and establish the run. Where with his two sacks, both of them came on stunt plays where he ended up being guarded by the Bears' undrafted rookie left guard, who this was his first start, so it's not all that surprising that Clay Matthews could get the best of an undrafted rookie player. And then the rest of the front seven around him did well, but I would think that they did well in large part because of how bad the Bears' offensive line was, more so than Clay Matthews' return.
Pretty good defense everywhere in the field from the Packers this past Sunday. I thought the defensive backs did a pretty good job. In particular, you've got Sam Shields getting three pass interference penalties from Alshon Jeffrey of the Bears. I don't know if I've ever seen that three offensive pass interferences from one player in one game before. I think the other Packers defensive backs did pretty well as well. What do you think?
With Shields, it was especially alarming because all three of them came really late in the game. Although I would say that those have more to do with Jeffrey than they do with Shields. However, despite that, Shields still had a really good game, deflecting three of the passes on four of his targets and not allowing a catch. Along with that, the other defensive backs played very well as well. With Brandon Marshall, he had six catches in the game, but a lot of them came when Marshall was either so deep that it was a safety's responsibility or more in the middle of the field, which brought it on a linebacker. So when Tremont Williams was the man in coverage, he only allowed one catch for 9 yards while covering Brandon Marshall. And then Casey Hayward played only in the slot and was targeted just once the entire game, and he intercepted the one ball that was thrown his way. So even though I personally would rather see Hayward starting and playing every snap, Shields has been doing a lot to show that he still deserves to be on the field, but Hayward's been playing out of this world and deserves to be the defensive rookie of the year.
Wow. Up front, B.J. Raji had a pretty good game. Seems like he was able to get some penetration, throw some of those Bears offensive linemen around. I think that he's played pretty well since a mid-season ankle injury. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. This game was the best I've seen out of Raji in terms of making plays in the run defense. On the very first play of the game, he had a tackle for a short gain. On the second drive, he had a tackle for a loss, which basically ended that drive. And on the third drive, he was about to get a tackle for a loss, was held by Gabe Creamy, and because of the holding penalty, that basically effectively ended the third drive. So I would say Raji is largely responsible for the Bears not scoring any points in that first quarter. The biggest similarity I see between the Packers' late Super Bowl run in 2010 and this year is Raji stepping up his play.
I hope that continues, certainly. On the offensive side of the football now, kind of a situation where I think could be very similar to B.J. Raji, maybe kind of comparing him to tight end JerMichael Finley. Been a lot of talk this past week about JerMichael Finley and a report from Bob McGinn at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We've all heard about this, how the Packers may release him in the offseason, but In much the same way as Raji, I think Jermichael Finley, since suffering a mid-season shoulder injury, has kind of slowly gotten better every week these past few weeks.
Yeah, it's basically been since the bye week that I have seen an improved play out of Jermichael Finley. Over the past five games, he's only had two drop passes compared to the seven that he had in the first nine games. And then in terms of making plays, he has caused a player to miss a tackle on him in each of the last five games, where he only had that happen twice over the first nine games. So I'm not sure if that'll be enough for him to keep his job, but it's at least good to see the Packers are getting more of their money worth as this season has gone on.
The Packers offensive line kind of unveiled a new look this past Sunday against the Bears. For the first time, they had Don Barclay at right tackle, and then they moved TJ Lang back to his usual position at left guard, meaning Evan Dietrich Smith didn't play, or didn't start at least, I should say. But how did this new look offensive line perform?
They performed pretty well in this game. I wasn't a big fan of the move because Dietrich Smith was playing as one of our best run blockers, with Jess Sitton as the only other player on the offensive line that has consistently played pretty well in run blocking. However, it's hard to argue with the move with how well these players did in terms of pass protection. Lang only allowed one hurry, and Barclay allowed just a sack and a hurry, which is his best game in pass protecting so far. And with Aaron Rodgers getting a passing rating of something like 130 when he was not under pressure, it's hard to argue with the move that the Packers are trying to help their pass protection. But I think this will hurt the run game in the long term, and it showed in this game as well.
Hopefully we'll prove you wrong with that, but the results remain to be seen. James Jones, I can't go any further without mentioning his three touchdowns. I know I didn't expect 12 TDs coming from James Jones this season. Did you expect that coming from him coming into the season?
No, I didn't expect that out of him, especially with how well players like Jordy Nelson were playing late last season. But he has really come up as a red zone target for the Packers. You never expect someone to have three touchdowns in a game. And when you look at the three touchdowns, the last two weren't overly impressive out of him. But whenever you're getting in the end zone, you're doing something right. However, I would say someone like Randall Cobb had about an equally good game as James Jones, as he had five catches for first down.
This upcoming Sunday, the Packers take on the Tennessee Titans, a team from the AFC who they only see once every 4 years. Don't really see them a whole lot. What can you tell us about the Titans and how they're doing?
Sure. The Titans have been really a hot and cold team where they've been cold more than they've been hot this year. Their biggest strength on the offense is their offensive line. So you can't expect the Packers to get too much pressure on them. Their run game has been extremely hit and miss this year. Like on Monday night, Chris Johnson had one run for 94 yards. But then on his other 20 carries, he was only able to get 28 yards, which is just under a yard and a half per carry, which isn't good at all. There have been a couple games this year where the Titans have been able to put up a lot of points thanks to their pass game, but those have all come against weaker secondaries than the Packers have, so I wouldn't be too worried about the Titans being able to put up a lot of points on the defense. Then on the Titans' defensive side of the ball, what's most concerning is their defensive end, Derek Morgan, has been playing very well recently in terms of pass rushing. And he always lines up on the defense's left-hand side, so it'll be Don Barclay's responsibility, so that will be a big test for him. Where Cameron Wimbley, on the other side, hasn't been playing as well recently, but still can get some pass rush. So Marshall Newhouse will also be tested in this game. And then in terms of the Titans' secondary, their outside cornerbacks are pretty good, but they don't have as good of a slot cornerback. So I could see Randall Cobb being the star of this game.
Well, we'll definitely be looking forward to that. You know, just briefly here, Nathan, last week I wish I had saved this, but I got a tweet from somebody saying he loved listening to you every Wednesday here at Railbird Central. And you know, I know you're from Wisconsin, but you cover the whole NFL. I know this person wanted to know, are you a Packers fan? And, you know, just kind of how does that play into your job covering the entire NFL at Pro Football Focus?
Sure. I personally am a Packers fan. However, with what I'm doing at Pro Football Focus, I am marking down every player on every play, so it gives no advantage whatsoever if I do anything special for the Packers, because my goal is to be as accurate as possible. Where when it comes to people grading teams, we do have some analysts who are fans of certain teams, but typically they won't be the ones analyzing those games just in case they feel like they might be biased. Where if anything, typically what we'll see with our analysts is we are more hard on the teams that we like than anything. Like if you see in the power rankings that we just posted, I have the Packers ranked lower than any of our other analysts do right now.
Well, maybe the Packers can convince you otherwise with a strong performance this upcoming weekend. But Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week after. Maybe we won't talk to you next week, seeing as it's, what is it, the day after Christmas?
Yeah, that's the day after Christmas.
You know what, Nathan? I will communicate with you whether or not we're going to have a Railbird Central show next weekend, a week from now, but just because of the timing. But we'll definitely talk to you sometime in the future for sure.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Nathan Yonke joining us of ProFootballFocus.com as he does every Wednesday. Sorry to interrupt the show with the timing here. As I tried to tell our guests, I try to do all those things off the air and try out the planning. But anyway, we're getting near the holidays here, obviously. And but let's continue the chatter about the Green Bay Packers here. Thank you for joining us, everybody, on the show this Wednesday morning. The Green Bay Packers, we had a couple of interesting items in the media yesterday in the news. Most of them coming from wide receiver Greg Jennings yesterday. If you happen to be on social media at all, you follow your Twitter, you follow your Facebook feed, you probably came across a couple of these items. You know, they're on the blogs everywhere as well. Greg Jennings made his rounds yesterday in the media. He made appearances all over the place. He just did like every show at ESPN practically. But I mean, he was also on the NFL Network's NFL AM. He was on the Dan Patrick Show. And then he was like on all the radio shows on ESPN, Mike and Mike, The Herd, things like that. So Greg Jennings, you know, I mean, he talked about anything and everything, you know, the host wanted to talk about. But, you know, of course, one of the main topics of conversation was Greg Jennings' upcoming contract status. He's going to be a free agent at season's end. And so speculation turns to what's going to happen in the offseason. And Greg Jennings, more or less, I think in one of his interviews over at NFL. He also, you know, joined NFL.com crew there, Steve Weish, for a podcast. I think they call it their double coverage podcast. And you know, predicted that he wouldn't be with the Packers next season. And Greg Jennings also added that he would love to be back with the Packers, and, you know, it basically come down to a financial decision, but predicting that he would not be back with the Packers. So, you know, kind of, you know, it's certainly nothing new if you followed the Packers. This is, you kind of knew this was coming. I mean, just the simple fact that Greg Jennings is a free agent at season's end here. And, you know, he was a hot commodity probably the past few seasons. But, you know, what's really changed lately is the fact that Greg Jennings has not had a very good year this year, and part of it is partially due to injury, and not just this year, going back to last year as well. Greg Jennings has missed a lot of time with a variety of injuries. Of course, you know, the big one, major one this year would be the abdominal slash groin injury that kept him out several weeks. But he's now come back. I think he's been back now in, what, three consecutive games? Or is it just two? Anyway, I mean, he's had a, you know, a moderate impact since coming back from injury. He's caught a couple balls here and there. I'm not even sure. Has he reached the end zone yet? I don't think he has, but regardless, it's been no more than a handful of catches for Greg Jennings the past few games. And, you know, it's kind of, you read into it a little, has this decreased his value, what he's going to get on the open market? Are teams not going to want to pay him now, including the Packers? And you know, perhaps maybe that helps the Packers from a financial standpoint. Is he going to be back? And, you know, maybe if he doesn't command as much money, it would be easier for the Packers to get him back in the fold. Now, there's going to be a lot of money needed elsewhere. I mean, I'm sure you've heard this before as well. Both Clay Matthews and B.J. Raji will be heading into contract seasons next year. And then Aaron Rodgers is up 2 years from now, and of course, all those guys will command a ton of money, and Greg Jennings might be fourth in the pecking order there. But, you know, combined with the fact that he's had a down season, he's had injuries, maybe his, you know, price tag isn't quite as high, and then we can look at it from the angle as well. You know, with these rumors that JerMichael Finley will be either traded or released in the offseason, you know, that's going to free up some money to pay Greg Jennings. You have to think that, you know, Donald Driver's not going to be around next year, so his contract will be off the books. And it could even, I mean, we're really speculating here now, and this will be a you know, topic of discussion in the offseason for Charles Woodson. But he'll be, you know, there'll be speculation about his future in Green Bay in the offseason, considering his injury history and his advancing age. But you know, that's interesting. You know, I see here Ted the Sledge saying on the live blog, new TV money in 2014, and that's true. The teams are going to eventually get more money from the, you know, in their TV deal in the upcoming years. But I don't think that impacts the salary cap for a few years. The salary cap is going to stay generally flat for a few more seasons. The next, at least I know next year, you know, it might increase a tiny bit incrementally. But as far as getting more money, more income, that salary cap is not going to get. But, I mean, you know, also you do have to look at the way in which contracts will be structured. And you do have a good point there, Ted the Sledge, in terms of, you know, they can afford to give more money away in upcoming seasons. Say, you know, we're talking Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, paying them more in years like 2016 when there's more money available. So you can look at it from that angle as well. I mean, we're talking about a lot of stuff way in the future here. It's always kind of cool to look into the crystal ball and wonder what might happen. But it, you know, again, just speculation for right now, and we have to see how this season plays out. Now, Greg Jennings still has a lot of season to turn things around, to prove he's healthy, to have a good performance, and, you know, that could certainly change things, could change how much he's paid, and could change his attractiveness to other teams in the NFL who might want to pursue him. You know, I've seen people speculate about him joining, you know, say the Miami Dolphins and being reunited with Joe Philbin in Miami. Certainly the connection there, it makes sense. The Dolphins could use help at wide receiver. We'll see. And good point here by Nathan Yonke, joining us on the live blog now, points out Dwayne Bowe, Mike Wallace, and Wes Welker are all free agents this year too, which could help or hurt Jennings returning based upon how everything plays out, certainly. So, you know, got to see how the season plays out. If the Packers win a Super Bowl, you know, and Jennings contributes to that, his value could go up. And I'm sure a lot of Packer fans would love to see that happen, the Packers winning the Super Bowl. Heck, if they do that, there's also the case where Packers would, you know, be happy with letting Jennings go, seeing they got two Super Bowl rings out of him. They got plenty out of him, and it's time to let him get his money. Then and the Packers will move on. Could certainly be a case, too, where the Packers address wide receiver again high in the draft. You know, they haven't done that for a few years. Well, I suppose they did 2 years ago with Randall Cobb. But, you know, they've had a lot of success drafting wide receivers, and who knows, maybe they do that again, especially if guys like Jennings, Driver are gone and they look to the future. Anyhow, you know, that's one of the topics that was up for debate yesterday, as Greg Jennings made a zillion media appearances yesterday and talked about that basically everywhere he went. Not a whole lot happening elsewhere. You know, on the Packers' day off, Aaron Rodgers did have his weekly, you know, radio show on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee. Did talk about his ankle injury suffered against the Bears. You may have seen him kind of wincing in pain after getting hit, after twisting an ankle, basically, this past Sunday against the Bears. But Aaron Rodgers saying, you know, he's okay. Everything's going to be fine. He's not going to miss any time. So if you were worried about that, wondering about that, you know, there you go. He's going to be fine, as he said on his radio show yesterday. So nothing to worry about there, which did get me wondering. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been pretty durable throughout his career with the Packers, especially since becoming the starter. Now, what wasn't it in his rookie year, Aaron Rodgers was actually placed on injured reserve with, I can't even remember what happened now. Was it an ankle or a knee injury then? And, you know, without even receiving a whole lot of playing time, you know, winds up on injured reserve. But since then, you know, I believe, yeah, Ted the Sledge says on the live blog, ankle injury at Dallas, correct. You know, since that time, I believe the only time he's missed was the concussion, you know, against, what was it, Detroit there in the Super Bowl season 2010. Just, you know, missed, or was that 2009? My memory's hazy now, but he missed time with a concussion, only missed one game, missed that following game against the New England Patriots, but that's been it, you know, as far as ankle, knee, shoulder, arm, anything else. Been very, very durable, and that's been, you know, obviously huge for the Packers. I mean, where would the Packers be without Aaron Rodgers? I mean, it goes for any team in the NFL. Where, if you have a Pro Bowl starting quarterback, where would you be without that person? And it's even more perilous now, potentially, you know, whereas last year the Packers at least had Matt Flynn, who you had some confidence in. This year the Packers have an untested guy with Graham Harrell, who, you know, his only memorable moment of the year this year would be his fumble returned for a touchdown. You know, there's not a whole lot of confidence in Graham Harrell, and certainly he could change that around with a good performance if he were to get any playing time. But, you know, Graham Harrell's got nothing more than a few snaps this season in garbage time, basically. So still a lot to be proven there. But, I mean, losing Aaron Rodgers would be a devastating blow. but he has been durable, and you know, his most recent ankle kind of injury here is proof of that. So the Packers here getting ready for a game against the Tennessee Titans. Nathan Jahnke alluded to it. I think one of the things, you know, in a game that, yes, this game has meaning. The Packers are gunning for that, you know, number two seed yet. But, you know, there's kind of been a little bit of luster taken off the game in that the Packers have already wrapped up a playoff spot. They've wrapped up a playoff home game. Now, we don't know if it's going to come in the wild card round or the divisional round yet. But still, you know, the Packers have a home game in the playoffs. So, you know, that's kind of all been determined. You know, kind of taking away a little bit of the meaning from Sunday's game. But, you know, if you are going to watch a few things and really pay attention to what's going on other than just the playoff implications, I think one of the things to watch is how Don Barclay performs against against Morgan there from the Titans, who has been a pass-rushing threat and kind of provides a little bit of a litmus test as to where Don Barclay is, you know, assuming that potentially he could be the starter at right tackle for the rest of the season. You know, again, you know, maybe his, that depends upon how his performance and how he plays, whether the Packers might decide to try, attempt to bring Evan Dietrich Smith back and move TJ Lang out again. I'm not sure that's the right choice, simply because TJ Lang, you know, is so much more comfortable at left guard. He does seem to be a guard, but he doesn't seem to be a tackle. And, you know, Don Barclay, the jury's still out on him, and you know, but he has done a pretty good job run blocking. He has shown to give him quite an effort, shows a little bit of a mean streak, shows some toughness, shows he's not afraid to mix things up. He does show that, and while he may struggle in pass protection, and while he may need some help from time to time, whether it's from a tight end or, you know, the running backs chipping in, still, again, this could be your starting right tackle the rest of the year, and it will be a good litmus test for him on Sunday facing Derek Morgan on the Titans. So definitely something to watch, one of those matchups to watch, you know, on Sunday, something to key in on if you're, you know, just to see how Don Barclay is performing, because, you know, it's certainly be a good sign if he could shut out a guy like Derek Morgan in pass protection. That would be a huge step in the right direction and would give you some confidence in his abilities going forward as the Packers start making a playoff push, because they'll definitely see better teams than the Titans in the next few weeks, you know, during the playoffs, if they're going to go against teams like the Seahawks, like the 49ers, teams like that coming up. And, you know, of course, speaking of the 49ers and Seahawks, you know, that's the Sunday night football game this upcoming week. And kind of interesting that Packers fans will be rooting for, conceivably, the Seahawks to beat the 49ers, because if the Packers want to see, if the Packers want to get a number two seed, the 49ers got to lose a game. And it's certainly, I think the 49ers, if I'm correct, they end the season week 17 with the Cardinals. So it's certainly more conceivable that they would lose to the Seahawks this week as opposed to the Cardinals, you know, the last week of the season. Not to say it's, you know, totally out of the realm of possibility, but definitely more likely that they'd lose to the Seahawks. So interesting Sunday night football matchup will be, you know, again, another fun day of football as you watch the Packers on Sunday afternoon. They play one of the noon kickoffs, you know, be plenty to watch with, you know, Packers implications all day long you know, going into the evening matchup there. In fact, by the way, the Packers on CBS, you know, the Packers only play on CBS like twice a year, if that. So make sure you remember that. We got Greg Gumbel and Dan Dierdorf calling the action this weekend. Don't get that very often as an NFC team. You don't get those games on CBS all that often. So make sure to remember that when you're flipping through the channels and your instinct is to go to Fox on Sunday. But anyhow, thanks everybody so much for joining in this Sunday morning here at 9 o'clock on Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. This is going to do it until Monday. We're not going to have a show on Friday. I'm going to be celebrating holidays with my family up in northern Wisconsin. So I wish everybody the best and happy holidays themselves as well. Right now, the plan actually is to have a show on Christmas Eve. We'll be calling Brett Goode. He's agreed. He's going to come on Christmas Eve after the Titans game to talk a little football. So we are going to have an episode of Oh Snap with Brett Goode on Railbird Central next Monday. So that is in the works for sure right now. And so we'll talk to you then. So excited to do that. But we're off Friday. We'll see you next Monday. If anybody else is enjoying the holidays like myself, enjoy it. And we'll talk to you again soon. In the meantime, always make sure to check out Cheesehead TV for all your Packers needs, news needs throughout the week. Until then, I'm Brian Kirivu. On behalf of Jamie Jors, on behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of everybody else at Cheesehead TV, we'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.